Welcome to the ADAA podcast on decreasing or discontinuing medications in adult and pediatric OCD. Today we're talking with Dr. Philip Seibel. He is a psychiatrist who provides support and psychiatric services for adults in the intensive outpatient and partial hospitalization programs at Rogers Memorial Hospital's Tampa Bay location. He treats OCD and also specializes in treating body dysmorphic disorder, anxiety disorders, eating disorders, and other related conditions. Welcome, Philip. It's great to have you here. Thank you for meeting with us.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk about OCD. People talk a lot about it, obsessive compulsive disorder. Can you describe what it is and what it is not?
Sure. Well, when thinking about what OCD is not, OCD is not quirkiness. OCD is not needing certain things a certain way in a minor way that doesn't really interfere with an individual's life too much. OCD is not simply having a rigid personality. And so when someone describes a behavior as quote-unquote so OCD, that typically is not describing true OCD. True OCD is a condition in which people can experience intrusive, unwanted thoughts. So these are thoughts that these individuals don't want to have, that they're experiencing repetitively, and these are referred to as obsessions. In response to those thoughts, people with OCD engage in compulsive, repetitive behaviors. These are referred to as compulsions. The issue here is that a vicious cycle develops, which really can result in an individual living in a mental prison, so to speak, where each time they perform a compulsion, although that reduces their anxiety a little bit, it doesn't last long, and it just reinforces the problem and makes the condition worse. So that's true OCD, and particularly when OCD becomes more severe, individuals can be spending hours a day on compulsive rituals and be consumed mentally for hours a day with obsessions.
So what therapies are known to be effective for OCD?
Basically, in the treatment of OCD, you want to think about medications, number one, namely serotonin reuptake inhibiting medications, also known as SRIs. And these are medications like Prozac, for example. The generic name of that is fluoxetine. Zoloft or sertraline is another one. Paroxetine or Paxil is the brand name, is another one. Luvox, fluvoxamine is another. And then there's an older medication that is sometimes used called anafrenil, with clomipramine being the generic name. So we have medication management, and certainly at times other medications are tried in OCD. And then we have cognitive behavioral therapy, but a particular type of cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT as it's called, known as exposure and response prevention. So in terms of describing what that is, if you think of a common OCD symptom being contamination fear, an example of an exposure exercise for contamination fear-based OCD might be something like holding on to a doorknob and the individual not washing their hands afterwards. So individuals with contamination, obsessions, and compulsions often engage in repetitive hand washing. And for an individual who's engaged in exposure and response prevention therapy, sometimes referred to as ERP or EXRP, they basically start out with lower level exposure exercises that are more doable in the beginning, and then work up to more difficult things. And the technical term in terms of creating that list of symptom triggers that they're targeting in exposure therapy is known as developing a hierarchy, as it's called.
So when is medication advised as opposed to ERP?
This is a great question, because that's one of the big questions really in terms of OCD treatment. So I would say on the most basic level, if exposure and response prevention therapy is not readily available, then certainly medication is advised. And However, if exposure and response prevention therapy is available, we certainly have data to suggest that exposure therapy perhaps is even more effective than serotonin reuptake inhibiting medications. And the question becomes then, based on the severity of an adult's or a child or adolescent's OCD, will, as a treatment plan, that individual choose to start medication plus exposure and response prevention therapy at the same time, or will they choose one or the other? That's still a question that we're thinking about in the field, but it's perfectly okay to start with exposure therapy alone if it's available. However, if there are other conditions that are co-occurring that are also present along with the OCD, and I'll give you some examples, major depression, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, for example, then this question gets more complicated, because oftentimes when there are multiple conditions occurring at once, medication management is advised.
Okay. So there are benefits to medications. What are the downsides, if any?
Yeah, I would say the most obvious downside is side effects. And in addition to that, thinking about patient preference. So those two things go along with one another. And in terms of thinking about common side effects, particularly in the beginning of treatment, like gastrointestinal upset, for example, or sexual dysfunction from serotonin reuptake inhibitors, those could be issues that could really impair an individual's quality of life. And so those are the major points that I would make there in terms of the downsides of medication. And then just the issue of having to take a pill every day or multiple times per day, depending on the medication. Some individuals would prefer certainly not to have to do that.
Yeah, so that was what I was going to ask next, the reasons for decreasing or discontinuing OCD medication. If you could address it from the patient's point of view, which you've done a little bit, and then from the doctor's point of view as well.
Sure. Well, I think from the patient's point of view, thinking about things, basically thinking about whether an individual with OCD is doing better than they were doing before starting the medication, and thinking about how long have they been on the medication and how well are they doing. And I also want to make the point that parent preference is also very important in this discussion, because thinking about parent preference for their child in terms of potential medication side effects is also very important. And thinking about when an individual might want to decrease or come off the medication is very important in terms of really increasing quality of life, and decreasing side effects, I would say, is the major point. And one of the things that really needs to be thought about is whether the individual, either adult or child, is engaged at the same time in effective exposure and response prevention therapy for OCD, which we always recommend when any individual starts to decrease medications.
Okay. Regarding children and adults and discontinuing decreasing medication, are there differences in this for the two groups, for adults versus children and adolescents? That may be a third group, I don't know.
Yeah, I would say that the level of parental and family involvement for both adults and children is very important. And thinking about the fact that OCD runs in families, one of the things that we're wondering about is how effective parents or other family members, for that matter, for adults, are able to help the individual engage in effective exposure therapy. Because a lot of times what happens before the family really has a grasp on what's going on and learn about particular types of symptoms is that parents or family members do a lot of what we call accommodating of OCD symptoms. So, for example, a child may demand that his or her parents wash their hands a certain way due to contamination fears, or something like that, to stay on that theme. So one of the things that's important is considering a family member's ability to gradually decrease accommodation and to assist the individual who's engaging in exposures.
What can someone expect who is in the process of decreasing or discontinuing their medication?
So when we think about medications for OCD, namely the serotonin reuptake inhibiting medications, like I mentioned, Prozac, Zoloft, Paxil, and so on, you can think of those medications as kind of turning down the volume on the obsessions and compulsions. So if an individual is experiencing those symptoms at a high intensity, done correctly and in an individual who's receiving benefit from the medication, we would basically expect the volume to be lower. So in that context, this is the reason that we want individuals to be in exposure therapy if they're going to decrease or discontinue their medications, because the possibility is there that the volume of the symptoms might increase. But I do want to make the point that in terms of thinking about OCD alone, in other words, not considering OCD with a schizophrenia or with a major depressive disorder, for example, or with a bipolar disorder, when individuals are on a serotonin reuptake inhibiting medication such as Prozac in combination with an antipsychotic medication, for example, risperidone or Risperdal, is one that some psychiatrists add to the serotonin reuptake inhibiting medication to try and increase the efficacy. However, the research really suggests that only about a third of patients, these data are in adults, will benefit from being on an antipsychotic medication in addition to the primary OCD medicine. And oftentimes what happens in the community is that psychiatrists are nervous about removing the antipsychotic because the thought is, well, what if the individual was experiencing hallucinations, for example, or some sort of paranoia before, and they just aren't aware of that. But what I would encourage consumers to be aware of, really, is that the research suggests that only about a third of individuals, again, these data are in adults, will benefit from those antipsychotic-like medications, again, such as Risperdal, Risperidone is the generic name. And these drugs can have nasty side effects, for example, raising blood sugar, causing diabetes, causing high cholesterol, causing weight gain. Really, really things that can be negative for general physical health. So I would encourage consumers to be aware of that and to request to come off of that medication first, particularly if they're experiencing those side effects and they don't think that they're really receiving benefit from that type of medication.
What is the danger of relapsing once you are off medications?
That's an important and still open question because we really don't have a lot of data. There have been some smaller studies that have suggested that perhaps it's 50% more, but we really don't know. And that's one of the things that research is currently looking at, and that is things that might help people come off of their medication and how potentially that could be done correctly.
What questions should people ask their doctors about their medications? And I'm thinking maybe one question I might have is, how long would it take to fully go off medication if you were not having any side effects or anything like that? Is it individualized, or is there kind of a standard time frame?
It's definitely individualized. And I think that the central theme here, again, is the individual, either adult, child, or adolescent, in exposure and response prevention at the time that they attempt to decrease or come off their medications. So I think that one of the essential questions for an individual to ask their doctor is, if they've been on serotonin reuptake inhibiting medications such as Prozac, for example, for a while, let's say a year, for example, but they've done well and they're also doing well in exposure and response prevention therapy, a question for the doctor, again, as long as there aren't other conditions going on at the same time, which can complicate matters such as depression or bipolar disorder, could they potentially start to decrease, especially if they're having side effects? That's definitely one piece of advice that I would give to consumers. In addition, I think asking questions basically about side effects and some of the longer-term risks of being on medications, particularly if you think about some of these antipsychotic medications that are used in lower doses with the primary OCD medication and their potential effect on cholesterol levels, blood sugar levels, general physical health. So I think that these are all important questions.
Good. Is there any new research on the horizon that you'd like to highlight that relates to this topic?
Yeah, there's an exciting study going on at Columbia by Dr. Blair Simpson's group, where they're basically taking individuals who are on a serotonin reuptake inhibiting medication, such as Prozac or Luvox, for example, and giving them exposure and response prevention therapy. And the study is basically trying to look at, in the context of decreasing medications while someone is receiving quality exposure and response prevention therapy, what percentage of patients stay well and can come off versus relapse, or in other words, get worse. So I'm very excited about that and look forward to those results when they come out.
I think we'll all look forward to that. Thank you very much, Dr. Cybele. And this is Jean Kaplan-Tycho for ADAA.